Chippewa Falls, W228 P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.
I promise to be a president for all Americans.
Vice President Kamala Harris becoming the first woman of color to accept the presidential nomination of a major party on the final night of the Democratic convention in Chicago. Harris will get back on the campaign trail next week. CBS News political analyst Joel Payne.
What she needs to do going forward is she needs to think about what does she want to do in terms of building a winning coalition. Does she look like a 2008-2012 Barack Obama coalition, which is more reliant on voters of color, African-American voters, young voters?
Donald Trump makes another campaign stop in Arizona today. The independent candidate for president, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is in the state, too. CBS's Michael Toscano.
Multiple sources have confirmed to CBS News that Kennedy has been seriously considering suspending his campaign and is likely to endorse former President Trump.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is promising to protect Social Security and Medicare and taking Donald Trump to task for proposing cuts.
He's talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare while giving a huge new tax break to billionaires and corporations? Well, Kamala Harris is not going to let that happen.
Baldwin gave a short speech at the Democratic convention last night. She's running for re-election against Republican Eric Hovde. The universities of Wisconsin will ask for $855 million when Governor Evers and lawmakers start work on the next two-year state budget next spring. The Board of Regents approved President Jay Rothman's spending blueprint yesterday. It includes millions to fix up or replace older buildings. Faculty and staff would get pay raises. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Dunn County homeowners will now be allowed to add a secondary housing unit to their property. According to a press release, accessory dwelling units will now be allowed as the county seeks to address concerns over a lack of housing. The accessory dwelling units will need to be smaller than the main home and within 300 feet of it, can be no more than one unit per lot, and must comply with the Uniform Dwelling Code. Property owners must also sign a deed restriction so their property can't be converted to a condominium. The Menominee Police Department will be reminding college students about city ordinances ahead of the new school year. According to a WQOW report, law enforcement officials will be sharing flyers around the University of Wisconsin's Stout campus to make sure students know what could land them a fine. Some of the reminders on the flyer include things like a $500 fine for carrying a fake ID and a $150 fine for leaving an indoor couch outside on the lawn. The flyers will be distributed in September. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers break camp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had their final training camp practice in a joint session with the Baltimore Ravens. Jordan Love made some nice completions, but was also intercepted.
They're a really good defense. I mean, I think they ended the last year one of the best in the league. So they're really good, and it's a great test for us on offense. And obviously, I mean, I think after last week at Denver practice, you know, it wasn't our best performance. So we definitely wanted to bounce back. And I think, you know, we did a good job of doing that.
The two teams face each other tomorrow at noon for their final preseason game at Lambeau Field. Baseball tonight, the Brewers in Oakland to face the A's, the Crew losing to the Cardinals yesterday, 3-0 in St. Louis. Pat Murphy asked why he pulled Freddy Peralta after five scoreless innings pitched.
He threw a good breaking ball. He just missed with it a lot. I thought he was good. Five innings of shutout. Only two hits, I think, and you can say what you want. The pitch count got up there, and I'm not interested in him keep going 100-plus when, you know, he's got a lot of big starts left.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thunder shower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. The DNC is over, and I'm taking a breather. Don't worry. I got you covered. Special guest host Matt Rothschild is up next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so we were talking about the convention and about Kamala Harris. You're welcome to join us at any point in the discussion, as always. Mike, thank you for hanging on, man, from Kenosha. You want to say what?
Friday morning. What a great way to end a great week. I like to celebrate life, especially in those moments when we need to just appreciate where we've been and where we are now. And what a difference. What a difference a month makes.
Yeah, really, man. Really. A month ago, we were, you, Sandy, and I, we were basically like many other Americans. We just thought it was over.
Yeah, my bedtime prayers were going into hours every night. But you know what? My prayers were answered, my friend. You know, the feeling, the sense that it's almost like a different universe, a different time a month ago. And it was just yesterday, just about, you know. But the reason why I wanted to chime in this morning is because, again, the stark differences between the conventions and the spirit and the theme, it couldn't be more separate. And I think for all prudent people, you know, it's a pretty easy choice going forward. But what I want to remind people is what I was hoping I'd hear more of, and maybe that's the plan for the, you know, next week or whatever, but, you know, certain buzzwords like trickle down, for example, are not being thrown back out there as often, in my opinion, as they should be, because quite frankly, trickle down and job creator, those memes are nonsense. They don't pencil out at any time you try to examine them. And yet we were kind of caught under that Reagan revolution, which that was at the core. Cassandra, you know, when you're talking about the equity of the gains made financially in the working classes, no, it's not the last 20 years that the blue collar groups have been taken on a chin. It's been since 1980. It's been 44 years in so this is, it's, that's more, that's almost two generations. many people don't even know any other world other than trickle down. So what I'm proposing going forward, you know, just like, you know, making these people abide by certified elections, I think, you know, talking about trickle down and job creations and how that was used as a cloak, as a mechanism to fool the people into really voting against our interests and supporting economic schedule or campaigns that were, in my opinion, un-American. So to end the call, I'm looking forward to next week and the week after. I'm looking forward to taking these old adages on heads on, straight up, and just disarming the Republicans. And we got plenty of time to do that before November. What do you think?
Thank you very much for the call, Mike.
Well, you know, trickle down, I was talking about it before you called. I think that is the premise under which almost all of the Republican policies that they talk about are said to work, but it doesn't work. There has been no trickle down phenomena. The rich getting richer does not seem to pull the middle class up. It's actually pushed them down because the policies that have been adopted have, and the evolution of the world economy, the two of those together, has cornered what is the middle class and put them into a totally different environment. And until we recognize that different environment and start dealing with it, like Kamala Harris's policies last night discussed, we're not going to improve the situation of the middle class. And the middle class will remain to be as an unhappy and an increasingly unhappy group under Democrats and Republicans, because it's important that we address it. And I think what's really refreshing is, number one, the fact that they're talking about addressing it. Number two, the fact that we have a whole bunch of people who are very articulate, who are capable of discussing it and helping the public understand the difference between the policies that would be enacted under either a Republican or a Democratic administration. And number three, it appears that the Democrats now have the will and the desire to overcome the lobbyists in Washington to try to accomplish the things that are necessary with respect to these elements of costs that are burdens to the middle class that are keeping us from having the thriving middle class we need. And Kamala Harris is absolutely right that the sanctity of the American democratic experiment is entirely dependent on a thriving middle class. And without a thriving middle class, we ultimately will fail.
You know, let's go to the phone lines. Gene from Eau Claire first. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Good morning, guys. An outstanding job, outstanding coverage. Thank you for your hard work. I want to say that first of all. Then I want to say, you know, that I pay very, very close attention to live situations that are going on in our government, and I've watched the House and the Senate not work for any policies or anything to improve life for the people and to improve the situation. All I have watched is going after any of the department heads, strictly going after anybody that has brought to the attention or the departments that have tried to do things like COVID, going after Fauci, going after Merrick, going after all the different people that may have bumped against Trump or brought out the awful things that he was doing during his time in office. Now, what I've seen with the Democrats is I think they realize, because they've been working through HE double toothpick to try to get things done in our country now and try to correct all the things that have happened in the past. And I think all of them are aware that they need to fight together for the people, or there isn't going to be any people. And that's the Project 2025. In addition to that, I watched a lot of the Democratic councils. I watched the senior council, who are fighting for seniors and ideas and plans. individual councils. I couldn't, there wasn't enough time to watch all of them live, but they are there to fight for every single American in our country. Let's say the other side. And I've been an independent, but I'm not anymore. And my whole life, I've never joined a political party. But believe you me, I'm paying attention and supporting the people that are in the blue, because they truly know what the devil's going on and how our country has gone downward. And they are working every single day fighting, and they need everybody's help. Vote for the people that have a D after their name. Vote for those Democrats, because you will see that they will push us ahead, and they will help people, and they will save our country. Because if we don't, I can't take watching that guy lying every day, every single day. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jean, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. She's certainly energized. Let me ask you, Sandy, because none of this is going to be easy. And you can only work off of adrenaline so long. And it's a long slog between now and November. And so, you know, we're up, we're excited, some of us, and that other side is not going to lie down. They're not going to lie down. And, you know, we've got many of them in our listening audience. Many of them have been silenced over this last period, the last 30 days. But, Sandy, I'll tell you, you know, there's still some things that could, I hate to say it, but, you know, can knock this train off the rails. And one of them is the issue with the Palestinians and Israel. They wanted to see if they could get a platform. They were denied the platform at the convention. There are people who think that that was a mistake. I mean, I understand why. You know, they didn't want to risk it, but it's all those kinds of things, Sandy, that there are people who support that and who, derail some things. And it's sensitive, right?
I mean, the world is complex, right. And there isn't going to be a candidate that will line up on policy with every policy that any individual might want to pursue, right? Every individual American is probably going to have to compromise in their mind some of what their purpose is when they decide who they're going to vote for. I think that what will happen is that, for instance, Kamala, she's running, will have to explain and will probably feel compelled to explain how it is that she will implement the policy she's talking about. And I think that will be important to the American people. The Republicans have no capacity to have that conversation because they really are a one-joke comedian in terms of their approach to public policy. It's tax reductions.
So I want you to elaborate more about that.
And immigration. And I think that her retort on immigration is exactly the right one. I'm going to put that bill before Congress again, and I'll sign it.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. Come on.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to treat
travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Sandy, I didn't know you were a Prince fan. I've been, you slip him in every now and
then.
Yeah,
I like Prince. And Prince is from Minnesota.
Yeah.
So is part of the ticket that's at this last convention. So I've got some Minnesota music.
There's always some correlation with you, man. But with the music. Welcome back. It's 844-967-2789 is the numbers. Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Brendan. Brendan, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a couple of things. One on the football front, the new kicking rule should be interesting. Been playing a little Madden, so dropping the ball into the drop zone will be important for the kicker. To the actual DNC, it was incredible. I thought her speech hit on all points. I don't think she missed one. I think as far as immigration signing the bill, I think as far as supporting Israel, but at the same time stopping the mass killings in Palestine. And in that vein, I want everybody to remember when you see these video clips on TV of these guys at these protests that have their faces fully covered, they're agitators. They're nothing but agitators. They're at the rally. They're at the meetings for the people trying to protect Palestine. But then you also have them pretending to be protesters for Hamas. The butcher shop is empty. Okay, these folks are running out of red meat to serve up to their group, and you can see it. All you got to do is look and see. All the real protesters don't have their faces covered, but the guys that walk right up to the microphones and want to yell in the microphones, well, those are your agitators. But everybody enjoy the weekend. Get three friends registered to vote and vote blue down the ticket.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, let me ask you, because as we get all excited and people are excited about the possibility of Kamala and Tim Walz winning the presidential nomination, Congress and Senate, critically, as equally as important, all of the things that she's talking about and all those things could very easily be derailed if they lose the House and the Senate.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you have a President Harris, but you have Republican House and Congress, House of Representatives, you got nothing. Okay, you can operate by executive order and nothing else will happen, right? And on the contrary, if you have a President Trump and you have a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, again, you've got a neutralizing factor there. But if you have a Democratic House, Senate, and presidency, which has happened, you know, it tends to happen in the first 2 years of a presidency, things get accomplished, you know, important things. The Affordable Care Act, for instance, which, you know, has its faults, but it was a profoundly important breakthrough in terms of the way Americans experience healthcare and have the opportunity to access it. We have lots of work to do in that regard. There's lots of work to be done. And so I think that work will only get accomplished if you have a president and a House and a Senate that are same party. Okay. And I think it's particularly important this time that those be blue.
Well, you know, Sandy, there clearly is as great an opportunity as there's been in a long time, that that could happen, that the ticket for the White House will filter down.
Well, enthusiasm is a big factor. I think everyone's analysis still is that it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to hold on to the U.S. Senate because the numbers and the number of contests and the states in which those contests are occurring are such that there's a belief that the fragile majority that they hold in the Senate will be upset. It's a little less important in the Senate because of the filibuster rule. But, you know, were the filibuster rule to go away, then the Senate majority becomes, the bare majority becomes a much more important element. I think the House is a real possibility. And I think the Senate is a possibility as well. But it's really going to relate to this enthusiasm. And enthusiasm translates into voter turnout. And voter turnout is the important issue.
All right, let's go back to Al from Milwaukee. Al, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just want to say thank you, Sandy, for exposing people to Ravi Shankar. Ravi also played jazz, and I have a couple of his albums.
Well, yeah, he was something. He came to the United States under the aegis of the Beatles, and he's a, kind of a genius musician, I think.
You know, Al is a music aficionado, or he professes to be anyway. So you guys have that in common.
I don't profess.
I was very happy to hear that this morning.
All right, Al, thank you very much for the call. Let me say this to the audience. And, you know, as we're on the precipice, this kind of reminds me, Al, of as a young boy watching John F. Kennedy and just the energy that was around that. Remember?
I do. And, you know, Camelot, the whole concept of a new beginning. And I do think that that's what that convention seemed like, because there's so much, like I said, so much talent. So much, you know, all those speakers that stood up and spoke from all around the country, Democratic politicians,
right,
with fantastic credentials, fantastic capacity to be articulate and to present the arguments, and to make a discussion that people could find easy to listen to and easy to understand. And I think that that's what we need and people are lusting for, actually. And I think the breath of fresh air was palpable.
You know, Sandy, even when you look at some of the young Congress people that Democrats have, and let's say you're on the other side of that, and there's so many people who are on the other side of that, and they're watching that and they're wondering, wow, they have to, even if you don't support Democrats and you listen to the intellectual capacity of those people and their youth in their 40s, in their 50s, you know, and then you look at what's on the other side. And yet, this is not to point the finger and say that everybody on the other side is not bright or not visionary, because there are a lot of Republicans on the other side who are young and bright. They're not all Matt Gaetz and Green. There's some bright folk on the other side.
I think there's lots of intelligence. I just think that it's somehow embittered. The Ted Cruz style, the J.D. Vance style, is angry about something about liberals and a liberal elite that they want to thrash at, and it seems to be a knee-jerk reaction.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the numbers. Friday, that means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The official leading the roll call of states at the DNC was familiar to plenty of people in Wisconsin. Jason Ray grew up in Rice Lake and lives in Glendale. He says he came up with the idea of a highly produced roll call 4 years ago.
It was an opportunity for delegates to still do their important work, but also to celebrate, to unify. I know from everyone that I've talked to, the roll call was a highlight for them, and I know it was a highlight for me.
It's all part of Ray's job as Democratic National Committee Secretary. A new invasive species has found its way to Wisconsin. The Eastern Asia's elm zigzag sawfly does minor cosmetic damage to elm trees. The zigzag sawfly was discovered in Portage County on the 4th of July. Wildlife officials now say they've spread to 17 Wisconsin counties. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Town of Washington Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to petition the state to incorporate part of the town as a village this week. The town is looking to protect its land after some controversial annexations by the City of Eau Claire and City of Altoona. The petition will be circulated among landowning electors in the proposed village area, which would cover nearly 20 square miles and over 5,000 residents. The town will have 6 months to gather the required signatures on the petition before submitting it to the state. First responder agencies held a training session for mass casualty events in Menominee on Wednesday. According to a WEAU report, it was the largest training session of the kind that the organizations have taken part in since 2019, though they've regularly taken part in smaller training sessions. The goal of the training was to improve the cooperation and communication between law enforcement agencies looking to end a situation and medics looking to treat victims quickly during a tragic event like a school shooting. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If there's one thing Hollywood needs, it's more total bros who have never acting in movies. Lionsgate is addressing the problem by casting Travis Kelce in an action comedy film called Loose Cannons. The plot pairs two handsome renegade cops. Usually it's just one loose cannon paired with a total stiff, but the word cannon has been pluralized. How far is Kelce planning on taking this acting thing?
And the Oscar goes to...
Break a leg, Chief. If there's a documentary about you and the word monster is next to your name... Well, life might not be going your way. Such is the case for the Menendez brothers, Lyle and Eric. The lovable scamps are the subject of season two of the Netflix Monster series. Eric and Lyle were convicted of murdering their parents in 1996. They've got their quirks. Monsters drops September 19th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Werzer Builders invites you to discover easy living in their 55-plus senior condos conveniently located on Eau Claire's south side in the Timber Bluff neighborhood development. Enjoy quality custom units with well-thought-out floor plans, kitchens with center islands and granite countertops, charming front porches, and outdoor patios with pergolas. Units are two-bedroom, two-bath, come complete with appliances, and start in the 270s. Contact Werzer Builders today for lot availability and building details at info@werzerbuilders.com.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean,
at your
it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated already. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is going to recombobulate at 10:33, and we got special guest host Amy Westrup of Comedy Sports joining me all morning. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
On the bus, that's where we're at.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or you can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines, and Bill, good morning to you, Bill. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. It's always a great show. So after the convention wound up, I think the takeaway is we are now on the offense, not defense. We're done playing defense. We're on the offense, and our offense is so strong that it will be kind of an old-fashioned, the way Barry Alvarez used to coach the Badgers in football. It will be just pushing forward. There's not going to be any long passes. Just keep pushing forward. And if you run out of ideas or you run out of concepts and you want to get a map to how to win, if you can stomach it, turn on Fox as they try and defend a guy with 24 felonies, 26 sexual assaults, 11 bankruptcies, and 2 impeachments. If you can't figure that out, heaven help you.
Well, you know, because Bill, even with that being said, it's still a close race.
It is, Earl, but the thing is, if you're a true American, it shouldn't be, because there is not a true American that wants a felon in the highest office of the land. There isn't. He's not an American. He's something else. And Donald's right. Everybody's out to get him. He's right on that, the government, the CIA, and it's called America. Thanks.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, let me ask you. What I heard during the convention was, and I wrote it down, I don't think they said it exactly, but this is what I got from it. We must listen to people. We must meet them where they are. But if they are in the wrong place, different from us, then we must not acquiesce to them, which is what we try to do here. We listen to the other side. People have a right to the other side of it. We listen to them. But isn't that kind of where it is? You listen to, and people have been trying to listen to the other side. But for heaven's sakes, if the other side keeps believing that Donald Trump is the savior and Donald Trump is the answer, you've listened to them, but you just can't support that.
Well, I think that it was I recall that discussion. It was basically discuss with them your differences. And I think that's what we need to learn how to do, is to discuss our differences. I think that he only is a brand that is appealing to people in a circumstance in which they are angry and afraid, because he stokes that, and he preys on that. He builds that. That is his brand. And I think that we can help diffuse that by the approach that's taken with respect to the conversation that surrounds this campaign. Because I don't think that's the common nature of people. I mean, there's a part of our DNA that reacts like that. It reacts like that when we're afraid, when we're angry. It reacts like that in the circumstance in which our tribal concerns become paramount above our general societal interest. And those are the three dog whistles that he's playing with. And I think we just all have to appeal to our better half, or the part of us that is what it is that has created a large, harmonious society that has worked for a whole bunch of time. I think the problem Donald Trump is going to have is that, to the extent that the candidates continue to treat him as an anomaly, you were talking off the air about how Robert Kennedy might be
right,
going to endorse him. My reaction to that was, as I said off the air, how many clowns can he get in a car? I don't think it's going to help, because the people who were going to vote for Robert Kennedy, many of them weren't voting for Robert Kennedy. They were voting against either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, because they favored this third party candidate as an option. Okay. But I don't think that option has votes to carry on his back into the camp of one or the other of the people that that people were voting for him because they didn't like that other guy. Okay. So I don't see this as a big win for Trump. What I do see it is as the end of Robert F. Kennedy as a political figure, because you can't be for sale. Okay. You can't be so obviously for sale and have the respect of a following of people who were thinking that you were something you weren't. I think he was selling himself as this independent agent, this person who was different from other politicians. And what is he, I guess, but simply someone looking out for himself.
You know, Sandy, I've been, you know, by now Donald Trump would have responded if, you know, to Vice President Harris's speech and those things that occurred. You would have known, he would have been everywhere, it would have been up in lights if he had something and a way to say it. So I was reading this article in today's Wall Street Journal this morning, and it's called Sandy, Republicans Better Get on the Ball. They haven't made the case against Vice President Harris, and the clock is ticking. And it's by none other than Thomas Sowell.
Well, I think, as I said, I think the Wall Street Journal is beginning to distance itself from Donald Trump, because I think they realize that the policies he's espousing will be terrible for the economy, terrible for the financial community. This idea of a big tax reduction, this idea of big tariffs, would inflame inflationary pressures, and the idea of a huge tax cut without financing it would create massive increase in the national debt. He doesn't have anything to say that has any sort of financial soundness about it. And he's trying to be a populist to appeal to, it's not clear who, but I really believe that the Wall Street Journal and the financial community is backing away.
So, you know, I'll tell you, and even Fox News, you know, kind of gets it. Let's go to CJ, man. Go ahead, CJ. You say what?
Okay.
CJ?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Earl and Sandy. Listening to you gentlemen, it sounds like you forgot that Kamala and Joe Biden have been in office for 3.5 years. And now all of a sudden on day 1300 and something, she plans on taking action. Well, the disaster is already happening, and they caused it. So,
what disaster? What disaster? What disaster is that, CJ?
Everything. How about Afghanistan?
Oh.
How about she was the last one in the room? Remember? Remember? She proudly said she was the last one in the room.
Hey, CJ, how long ago was Afghanistan? Since you want to talk about how many days, I mean, okay, so that disaster.
Well, it's interesting. I heard Donald Trump, he called into Fox and said exactly what you just said last night. I mean, it was nigh unto identical.
Yeah.
And the thing is that she was vice president, okay? She's clearly, in a way, breaking away from some of Joe Biden's policies and articulating her own policy. She's a different person. How much responsibility did Mike Pence have when he was vice president? And when he was, and the only thing he was seriously asked to do was something that he was otherwise going to get hung for not doing. I mean, vice presidents are not people who carry policy, okay? It's presidents. But, you know, she was in the White House, and we'll have to talk about some of Joe Biden's policies, yes. There's plenty of good things from the standpoint of her perspective and the perspective of many people that were accomplished under Joe Biden. I think one of the problems Republicans are going to have is that Donald Trump wants to run against a disaster, and he has to make people believe that there is a disaster. But the disaster is a straw man, and the United States public can look at the data, can look at the situation, and understand that there's no disaster currently extant, that crime is not going up, crime is going down, that many of the things that are being pointed at as being the problem are not a problem. So, you know, we went through a period of inflation. Inflation is gone. The world went through a period of inflation, and the United States conquered that inflation faster than the rest of the world. Donald Trump wants to talk about how if he was in power, we would be running the world energy. We would be dominant in the world with respect to energy. I don't understand how anyone can say that. The United States ranks about 9th in terms of its oil reserves, okay? We are not the country that can dominate the oil industry. However, we are as close to energy independent right now as we have ever been. We're more energy independent right now than we were when Donald Trump ended office, when he claimed we were energy independent. That's, you have to look at the extent to which we're importing oil and the extent to which we're exporting oil. And we're actually more energy independent now than we were when Donald Trump was in office, whatever that means.
Hey, CJ, and this article is in, of all places, the Wall Street Journal. You know who Thomas Sowell is, right? It is Thomas Sowell who says Republicans better get on the ball. They haven't made the case against Harris. The clock is ticking. That's not Sandy and Earl. That's Thomas Sowell.
Well, if she gets in office, this country is doomed. Her policies just continue. They're farther.
I know, but you're basing that. You're
Now, wait a minute. Let's talk about that. Which policy is further left? She announced what her policy was with respect to the border. Okay, that's not a left policy. That's saying she wants to re-propose the legislation that was agreed to and sign it. Okay, and she talked stridently about being tough on the border. Which of her policies is further left? Name one. No, really, name one.
28%. Perfect. Name 28%. It's nice, convenient. You guys forget about the 13 soldiers.
No. We're talking. Wait. CJ, wait. Now, if we're going to have a conversation, CJ, don't get revert to strident. Just, you said that her policies were further left than Joe Biden. I just have asked you now to put your money where your mouth is. Which of her policies, name one, is further left? Because she was a centrist. If anything, she was a centrist candidate in her discussion last night. But which one of hers would you declare to be more left?
28% corporate tax.
Well, that's, I'm not sure.
Drive businesses out.
I'm not sure that's a left-wing policy. That policy was... Do you know what the corporate tax was under Ronald Reagan? No.
You know what, Sandy? You always deflect. It's going to drive businesses away. You deflect to something else. You claim that I always do it. You always do it to me. So 28% is going to drive businesses out.
Drive them where? It's going to drive businesses to where? Someone is going to, businesses are going to leave the United States because we have a 28% tax. And which country are they going to go to be taxed less other than Ireland?
Mexico, you know, so Sandy, you deflect so well.
No, I'm not deflecting. We're discussing this, CJ.
CJ, we gave you a chance, you echoed the same talking points. Gave you a chance to defend it, and, you know, clearly you couldn't. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Ninety-3.5, The Tap. It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve
my man sent. All right,
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah,
Minnesota man.
All right, welcome back to his last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us. Let me read this text quickly. Ha 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 ha. You deflect. I'm dying. Please record that. Save it for the crew. New commercial. you know, that's CJ's greatest accomplishment. You deflect. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, I'm a little bit more down key, a little bit less aggressive than CJ is. I like listening to CJ, but sometimes it gets a little too hot. My comments, and I want to ask Sandy on this one, is Tim Walz talked about not sticking your stinking noses into your neighbors. But when during the pandemic, he was sitting there talking about setting up a hotline and squealing on your neighbors if they're out there having people come over and play basketball or something like that. So to me, it seems a little hypocritical. What's your opinion on that, Sandy?
I have no awareness of the hotline about people playing basketball. I just don't know about that. So I can neither confirm nor deny that that was going on. But I personally am strictly in favor of mind your own damn business as a general premise for how Americans could live and how we could conduct our government. I think that's the libertarian view, basically, about government, you know. Mind you, you know, if it's the government's business, if it's the people's business, that's one thing. But if it isn't the people's business, then mind your own damn business. And I favor it. I don't know about any specifics about what he did during the pandemic in Minnesota with respect to a hotline.
You know, with all the things and all the different things that were said, Gary, you know, in the convention and where Republican and what Thomas Sowell just said. You know, what are your thoughts about any of that?
Well, I watched it. I drank the Kool-Aid a little bit. I started sipping on it. My wife is more kind of, she's more in the middle. I'm very extremely right-wing. My wife is right-wing, but she drank a little more Kool-Aid than I did, but we all did. And I'm excited. I think that the race is going to be very, very tight when it's going to go down to the last debate, which there should be more than one debate, but
all right,
it's going to be determined on that point. So,
hey, Gary, yeah, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to John from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
Hey, just, you know, I'm independent, and I definitely won't vote for Trump, but, man, I look at both sides, and let's go back to that other caller. He didn't have a lot of good facts about 12 of the last 16 years being in office. Basically, the Democrats. Let's look at just Harris, Biden, Afghanistan. billions and billions of dollars of equipment were left there.
Hey, man, listen, okay. Listen, how many Americans you think are sitting around saying, hey, let's go back to Afghanistan?
Well, and actually, I think there were some billions of dollars worth of equipment left there, but it wasn't $85 billion. I've been looking through the internet trying to find a factual basis for what the number was. It seems to be maybe a single digit billions. But the withdrawal from Afghanistan was negotiated by Donald Trump. And I think the American public is all in favor of getting out of Afghanistan. The technicalities of how you get out of a country when you've put so much money and time and physical assets into a country is a complex issue. I think $84 billion is the total dollars that were expended in Afghanistan in terms of aid to Afghanistan over the entire period. That isn't the value of military hardware. That's the amount of money that was expended in aid to them. So I'm just saying, it's a retrospective look. And actually, the vice president isn't the commander in chief. The president is. We're now looking forward. We're talking about what our policies are going to be going forward. And that's really what we should be talking about. And if people think that they can try and stick that on Kamala Harris to try and be a reason for not going forward, it better be symptomatic of something she's saying about what her policies are going to be going forward. Because if it isn't, it's just an extraneous fact. That isn't very interesting, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, how many people are sitting around at the table saying, oh, by the way, the number one issue is what went on in Afghanistan, John? Come on, man.
Dude, let's talk about borders. Don't gaslight me. Don't deflect. Don't lie. See what the borders are. And then, okay, laugh at it, because that's what you do, Earl. You're a nice guy. I've been listening to you since Belling. But listen, that you are an entertainer. You laugh at that. It's serious stuff.
It's serious to who, man?
Well, no, look, the border czar thing. I think the Republicans called her the border czar. I think that her assignment was more specific. But in any case, whether the Democrats were late to the party or not, the Democrats participated in the bipartisan discussion that came out, that was the reaction to H.R. 2. And they reached a compromise solution, which was very tough. And she is now expressing a tough policy about the border. So, you know, again, I think what we should be looking at is what people are saying they're going to do going forward. And what she said last night going forward was that she's going to put that bill before Congress and she's going to sign it. And the meat of that bill is a very tough set of policies, which were done by a series of adult conversations by people in Washington who rolled up their sleeves and came up with the bipartisan bill that's been talked about for 25 years.
Okay, let's talk inflation. I work in retail. When I started 3 years ago at my current position, soda, this, you may laugh at this, was three for $9.99. Now it's one for $9.99.
Hey, that's
Paris Biden.
Hey, John, I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. Mike, you got the last of it.
If we would spend as much time working on building and constructing and going forward, then we'd try to tear down people and ruin them and find things wrong with them. You know, we got to spend our time doing the right thing.
Mike, thank you very much for the call. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Calvin, as well. Hey, get out, enjoy the weather. Up next, Greg Bach, who's in for Jane Matinier on air. See you guys on Monday. Still gonna have to serve somebody. Serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil. This is 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison Curdfest rep Peter Nickel. Civic Media's Terry Bell gives us a recap of the DNC, and it's a bar band Friday night featuring Max Sync Radio's Terry Barr. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.